Today we're in the second week of our message series called Free. And we're looking at a really kind of complicated and difficult book, the book of Romans. And last week we looked a little bit at Romans 5. Today we're going to look at Romans 6. And what Paul is trying to share with us is the difficulty of trying to live out the Christian life, right? So if you're like to follow along, we have outlines available. They're at the information and resource table in the back. They just have some fill-in-the-blanks in there, and you can take some notes on there as well. Hollywood has made zombies really popular. Have you noticed that lately? I mean, in 2007, Will Smith was in a movie called I Am Legend. And in 2013, Brad Pitt was in a movie called World War Z. And now there's this show called Walking Dead. It started in like 2010, and it just got renewed for another year. For the sixth year, a TV show about zombies. Now, it's really kind of crazy for me, but I don't know, people really kind of get into it. So just a little idea, if you're not really sure what zombies are, they're kind of like animated corpses, okay? They're walking dead people. And it didn't just start a few years ago. This is actually something zombies were a part of, like Haitian folklore that was started in the 17th and 18th centuries. And there was this man named Baron Samedi who would rescue people when they died. And he would rescue them from the grave. He would bring them to heaven. But if they offended him, he would make them into a zombie and send them back. So a zombie is someone who's dead, but they're alive, but they're really dead. You kind of get that? It's really strange, isn't it? You know, I think that sometimes in my life, I can be a Christian zombie. You ever think about that? I'm alive, but really, kind of, sometimes I'm dead. I'm alive and walking, and I say with my mouth that I believe in Jesus, and yet spiritually on the inside, I can feel so dead. And just kind of like wandering around aimlessly in life, just wondering what the Christian life is really about and how I can become more like Jesus, right? Isn't that what we talked about last week? Paul had the same struggle. He said, I understand what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I just don't do it. I can't do it. Or I do what I don't want to do. I do what I hate. What's going on? I have this desire to do good, but I just can't carry it out. And later on in chapter 7, if you've ever read that, I can really relate with Paul. He says, what a wretched man I am. He's like, I've got all this stuff going on. I got this sin in my life. I'm such a wretched person. This is just awful to try to deal with. How do we do this? Well, in this process, Paul begins to explain and kind of lift the hood of the car and look into the dynamics of what's going on under the hood to try to fix this issue. And today we're going to be reading from Romans 6. Starting at verse 1, I'm reading from the New International Version. And Paul says this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No way, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. If we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that Christ was raised from the dead. He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't offer your the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. Rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. So just a picture here. In the first five chapters of Romans, Paul explains how we have received this incredible gift of eternal life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now in chapter 6, he kind of takes a turn and begins to explain that and how to apply it into our lives. And he starts it out with a question. Right? The question is, if we can't do anything to earn our salvation, right? And if there's nothing that we can do to be good, then why not just go on sinning? Who really cares? Hey, live it up. Enjoy life, right? You know, in the first five chapters, Paul says, hey, you can't do anything to be good. It's by God's grace and a gift that He's given to you that you are saved. And so now he has to answer the question. Because people are asking him, well, why can't I just do whatever I want then? Right? Why can't I just live a sinful life? Because if God's going to forgive me, then I can just do whatever I want. Paul says, no way. It doesn't work that way. In other words, he says, does the good news of the gospel lead to change the sinful patterns in your life? And if so, how? And this is precisely what he goes on to explain. See, we have the head knowledge of salvation. And now Paul says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to move it from your head to your heart so that you can experience it and begin to live it out. Right? To experience the good news. And when we do that, it ought to produce deep and massive internal change in our heart. And when it changes our heart, it impacts our life. Just like what Jesus said, right? In the Gospels. Right? We say, what did I just say? Where did that come from? Jesus said, well, it came from your heart. Because out of the overflow of the heart, your mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of your heart, you act. Your behavior, your character comes from the inside. So what does Paul say? Here's the key verse, verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Again, it's a little complicated, isn't it? You read that and he's like, what are you talking about? But a little understanding and application can help us begin the transformation process in our heart. Count yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. That word count is really important. Because what it actually means is consider, regard, deem, believe that you are dead to sin and alive to Christ. What Paul is saying is you can count on it. If you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can count on it. It's a for sure thing. There's no question about it. So let's look at that a little closer. Here's the first one. Start living like you're dead to sin. Start living like you're dead to sin. Count yourself dead to sin. See, a lot of times we question it, don't we? I gave my life to Christ. You know, I know that He's forgiven me, but it really doesn't feel like it. Why is that? Paul says, count on it. You're dead to sin. There's no question here. It's like a legal thing. Jesus signed the sheet. Your sin is paid for. It's done. Now, here's what counting yourself dead to sin does not mean. It doesn't mean that we'll no longer have a desire to sin. It doesn't mean that we have the possibility to eliminate sin on our own. It doesn't mean that we will eventually grow out of sin on this earth. It doesn't mean that we have to vow to never try to sin again. It doesn't mean that we're no longer responsible for our sin. But this is what it does mean. It means that sin no longer has power and authority over you. Sin can no longer tell you what to do. Sin is no longer the boss of you. easy concept to think about. Very hard to apply, isn't it? Well, it's easy to think about, not so easy to implement. So although we may obey sin, and the Bible predicts that we will obey sin, the factor of the matter is what Paul is saying here is you no longer have to. You have a decision. You have a choice to make. When you submit your life to Jesus by faith, sin no longer has authority to dominate your life. You have been united with Christ. That means whatever is true for Christ is true for you. You are one. You are connected. And Paul uses a word that we're familiar with. You were baptized with Him. He's not actually talking about the sacrament of baptism. He's using the word baptismo, which actually means you are united with Him. You were immersed with Him. You were buried with Him. You are so connected with Jesus because of your faith and trust in Him that you can't be separated from Him. And therefore, since Christ died, you have died with Him. In other words, your old self has been crucified with Christ and no longer lives in you, but you live in Christ. We need to start living that way. Start living like we're dead to sin. Start living like we can count on it. I believe on it. I believe what Jesus has done for me. We have the ability to resist and rebel against it. Here's part of our problem. When we give our lives to Jesus, we're legally united to Christ and we're dead to sin. But what we do is we struggle to grow in our faith and relationship with Christ because we don't realize and utilize the right and the privilege to exercise our authority over sin. We let sin control our lives. We don't fight back. We have to count ourselves dead to sin. But unless we act on this great privilege, it's not going to be automatically realized in our life experience. So let me give you a little bit of a picture, an example. I read in one of the commentaries and it talked about slavery. So in our country, when people were released from slavery, they noticed that some of the slaves, they didn't apply it in their lives. So even though the document was signed that they were no longer slaves, they didn't know how to live like free people. And whenever their slave master came around and they saw them, they began to tremble in fear. Even though legally they were free, experientially they were still slaves. In their mind, they were still slaves. It's the same thing that we do. It's the same kind of reaction that sin has in our lives. Jesus says, "You are no longer a slave to sin. You are connected to me. I have taken care of it." And yet, that thought process, when sin comes and confronts us in our life, we cower back and we get scared. We get afraid. We forget that we're free. So what do? See, when we're slaves to sin, we're willing to tolerate it in our lives. When we're slaves to sin, we make no effort to eliminate it from our lives. And Paul says, we don't have to do that. You're dead to sin. You're dead to sin. You are free from the authority and control of sin. Now, we may lose a battle now and again, but that's what God's grace is for. He comes to us and says, hey, you're forgiven. Sin is no longer your master. Sin is not my master. Sin is not my master. You say that with me? Sin is not my master. One more time. Sin is not my master. Now think about that. Something that you can say whenever you're tempted, whenever there's trials or temptations in your life. Sin is not my master. Sin no longer has authority in your life. You can count on it. Here's the second one. Start living like you're alive in Christ. Count yourself alive in Christ. Again, it's the same thing. You can count on it. Book it. It's done. You're alive in Christ. Some of you, a lot of us, we look at our life and we go, wow, I don't see a lot of spiritual growth in my life. I must not be a Christian. Matter of fact, one of the biggest questions people ask me is, how do I know for sure that I'm saved? Just the fact that you're asking the question, that you're concerned. But you need to preach the gospel to yourself on a regular basis. Jesus died for me. I put my faith in Him. Therefore, I am alive in Christ. There is no question. It's done. Now you are under the dominion and authority of Christ. The main core part of what that means is that you have a new identity. You are a new person. You are no longer a slave to sin, but you are a slave to Christ. You no longer belong to sin, you belong to Christ. I am alive in Christ. Whose you are changes who you are. Whose you are changes who you are. In other words, if you feel like you belong to yourself, then you're going to continue down the sin path. But if you remind yourself that you belong to Jesus, it changes your character. It changes your identity. It changes who you are. Here's your identity in Christ. You were created in Christ Jesus. He made you. He created you to be a unique person. He came here and redeemed you. He bought you with a price. You are loved. You are cared for. You are a child of the King and Creator of the universe. That is your identity. That is who you are. You are alive in Christ because of that. So, we experience being alive in Christ when we're willing to tell ourselves that on a regular basis. When we connect ourselves with that identity that we belong to Jesus Christ. So let's look at it from a practical perspective a minute. When you have trials and temptations in your life, those are the difficult moments that are the heat of the battle that help transform your life. When you are challenged in trials and temptations, the decisions that you make will help you to grow in your faith. We experience being alive in Christ through obedience and overcoming temptation. When we're capable of learning our identity in Christ, it begins to transform us. Paul says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body and obey its evil desires. Rather, offer yourselves to God. Don't let sin reign. Here's a couple ways that you can do that. When you're in the midst of a trial, when you're in the midst of a temptation, remember whose you are. Remember that you belong to Jesus. Another great picture is the picture of adoption. Right? We have been adopted into the family of God. Once we have been adopted, then the orphanage has no authority over us. We are no longer a part of the orphanage. Sin and Satan have no more authority over us. We are in Christ. We are His. Another thing that we can do is exercise our authority over sin through Christ. Remind yourself that you have been delivered and rescued from sin. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians. God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. But when you are tempted, He will show you a way out that you will not give in to it. Oh man, so okay, Paul, what's the secret? Right? What is the big secret? What is the way out? The way out is the gospel. The way out is reminding yourself that you belong to Jesus. It's reminding yourself that Jesus was tortured. He was crucified. He was beaten. And yet He rose again to pay the price for your sin and to give you life. So in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a temptation, you ought to think about what Jesus did for you and how He rescued you. I know in my life, whenever I am struggled with temptation, I begin to think about that. That Jesus loved me so much that He would sacrifice Himself. And in that moment, what it does is it brings me back to, wow, I want to honor Him. If I decide to enter into this sin and give into this temptation, basically what I'm saying is, Jesus, your act on the cross and the resurrection really don't mean anything to me. Really, what's most important to me right now is making myself happy and doing what I want to do. And when you think about it from that perspective, it's like, wow, that's just really bad. But that's sin. And that's who we are. And that's the real battle, right? So in the midst of those temptations, in the midst of those struggles, you need to remind yourself of the sacrifice of Jesus. What Jesus went through to rescue you, to provide you with life, so that you wouldn't sin. And sometimes that will help us. But again, our sin is deep and it's difficult. Here's another one. You were saved to glorify God. The whole reason that Jesus went through the cross and the resurrection was so that you would glorify Him. You were created to glorify God. And when we sin, we're choosing to glorify ourselves as opposed to God. I read in one commentary that living a sinful lifestyle is like being lost at sea without a raft. So you're just kind of floating around in the ocean. And Jesus comes along in a boat, and He throws you the life preserver and rescues you and brings you back into the boat, and you're just so incredibly elated. What an incredible gift. I've been saved. I've been rescued. It feels so good. It's awesome. And then 2 months later, thinking, hey, maybe I should jump back in. Maybe I should just jump back in the ocean. It was kind of nice for a while. Why would we think that way? And a lot of times that's the way we think in our lives. We forget what Jesus went through to rescue us. We want to dive right back into living a life of sin. Why would we do that? Well, we do it because we're sinful. But today you need to know and understand. You are alive in Christ. You're dead to sin. It's a done deal. Start living like it. You're alive in Christ. It's a done deal. But now you just need to start making the right decisions, the right choices, in order to experience life in Christ. It's living your life out of gratitude for what Jesus has done for you. It's offering yourself to God in the heat of the trials and temptations. Give yourself consistently back to God. I am yours. I belong to you. Count yourself alive in Christ. It's time for all of us to stop being zombie Christians and start making the choices that help us to become and live alive in Christ. Let's pray together.